So, Tony, there was some news at ASCO actually that was pretty interesting in terms of a drug we talked about before in terms of colorectal cancer, regorafenib. Dr. Dimitri presented some pretty interesting data earlier this year. There was some data presented in the JCO. Can you comment on this?
Yeah, and so in a very similar actually studies, the phase two, which was published in JCO actually just recently, and then the presentation of Dr. Dimitri at ASCO, which I think, you know, from the GI standpoint was one of the most positive studies in a GI cancer. And essentially, as a premise to the phase three study that was presented at ASCO, there was a phase two study, a multicenter phase two study. This is the publication in JCO that looked at regorafenib in patients who actually failed at least two lines of therapy, imatinib and sunitinib, and showing actually a progression-free survival of 10 months in a third-plus line setting and a disease control rate of 79% with survival not reached yet, showing an incredibly promising agent, regorafenib, which the regorafenib versus placebo study, the randomized phase three trial that was presented at ASCO, which was running in parallel, was a 2-to-1 randomization in the favor of regorafenib with a crossover design, meaning patients who went on placebo were given the option of going on regorafenib once progressed. The progression-free survival was quite positive, a hazard ratio of 0.25, 4.8 versus 0.9 month, so close to 4 month difference in PFS versus placebo. Of note that 100% of the patients had to fail imatinib or sunitinib, but many patients actually received multiple lines of therapy, including about 20% in both the placebo and the regorafenib arm receiving nilotinib. The disease control rate was about 53%, survival was not reached. Toxicities were very much in line with what you expect with these types of tyrosine kinase inhibitors, hypertension, rash, hand and foot syndrome. And what's interesting also is that the patients who went from placebo crossed over to regorafenib had a very similar benefit with progression-free survival than those that received regorafenib from the get-go. So overall, I think in an area of unmet need, you know, following imatinib and sunitinib failure, where we didn't have an option, I think we can safely say with that JCO publication, and most importantly with the phase three randomized study, that patients now who progress on those two lines of therapy will have an option presented to them and an effective one with regorafenib.
So in terms of mechanisms, I mean, I guess you could immediately, you know, we know sunitinib has an effect. You know, you would think about maybe some kind of vascular VEGF effect with regorafenib, but it also has effects on mutations. So any speculation? And I know there's like a Venn diagram that shows what imatinib inhibits and what regorafenib and what sunitinib inhibits. Any speculation about how this drug is actually working in GIST? Axel?
It's interesting. Regorafenib is a pretty new drug, and I think there are five original papers out there. So when we designed the CORRECT trial in colon cancer, we actually had pretty much crosstalk with the GIST guys, you know, because they had experience with the phase two, they had toxicity management, et cetera. And so the studies are very similar, and so there's a lot of interaction between these two groups that designed the trial. We have to keep in mind regorafenib has a very strong anti-c-KIT activity.
Right.
So it is a c-KIT inhibitor on top of a lot of other kinases which are inhibited. And coming back to what Charlie said earlier, in a refractory setting, you know, a resistant mechanism where you have the biopsy, nine different metastases, you find nine different genetic alterations in these cancers. The idea was that exactly in this setting, a very, let's say, promiscuous, multi-targeted kinase inhibitor might make sense. So that's why these trials really mirrored a patient, very much an attractive patient population with an unmet need. One of the critical issues in the GRID study is, which I think really contributed to the large hazard ratio that we saw, is that patients had a scan after 4 weeks, which we normally don't do. So patients who are on therapy, but a scan after 4 weeks, and those patients who were on placebo really dropped down in the curve. They had a lot of progression at 4 weeks, then crossed over, whereas patients who were on regorafenib actually had benefit. So the large delta with a hazard ratio, which is quite striking, of 0.27 for progression-free survival, it was largely based on that we had the analysis of progression early on, which identifies, you know, these patients who have run out of treatment options after imatinib and sunitinib really have very poor outcome. In just
any sense about the tolerability of regorafenib versus sunitinib?
You know, that is an interesting point. I mean, again, I've not treated patients sequentially yet from sunitinib to regorafenib. I do believe that patients who have kind of learned to tolerate one kinase inhibitor tend to manage toxicities better later. But I think what's concerning in the phase 2 trial, which was published, 82% of patients on regorafenib had to have some form of dose reduction, 82%. They went from, let's say, 160 milligrams, 3 weeks on, 1 week off, to some form of dose modification, either dose delays or dose reductions. And this is in the context of longer therapy than we see in colon cancer, which has a more rapid progression, so that these cumulative toxicities might not necessarily play a role. So I could see that in clinical practice, once the drug's approved, we might actually find different ways of, let's say, increasing doses over time, starting with a, let's say, one is 20 milligram dose per day, escalating the dose over time. I think it's similar to what I do with sorafenib in HCC. I hardly ever start with full dose sorafenib, but I ease patients in within a week and try to establish full dose.